All right. At this time, we're going to go ahead and open up this July 7th commissioners meeting. At this time, I would like to ask you, Madam Clerk, to do a roll call. Present.
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 All right, thank you so much. At this time, we will ask Vice Chairman Haugert if he will lead us in our invocation and pledge of allegiance.
I'm going to stand for the prayer. I want to stand, and it will stand for the pledge of allegiance. So, Baptist suffering, let us bow our heads. Father God, we give you thanks for this day. We ask that what we do in this meeting will be uplifting for your people in this county that we're serving. We ask all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray to the Our pledge of allegiance is to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much, Vice Chair.
You're welcome, sir.
At this time, we will move right into public comments. We would like to ask that you limit your public comments to 3 minutes.
All right.
Per speaker. Okay.
Time. Can you have your meeting? Yes. The time. You got it. Oh, right.
Rachel Bellis.
Good evening.
Animals for PETA and for more than 165,000 members and supporters in North Carolina alone. The summer temperatures have been covered a lot in the birds about the dangers of hot weather and how it can affect our most vulnerable members of the community, including dogs. PETA has teams of field workers in Bertie County almost every day, helping dogs who are forced to live outside, filling their water buckets, providing much-needed shade and shelter, applying flea prevention because the dogs are infested. Every single day that these dogs are out there is a struggle. They are completely trapped on the chains with no escape from the scorching temperatures. We can't wait to get from our air-conditioned car to our air-conditioned home or to our air-conditioned office, but these dogs have no respite from the heat. Tonight, I'd like to introduce you to a few of the dogs that we have helped, and there are thousands in Bertie County, but I only have three. So this is Tiny. Tiny is from Calgary. She's a small dog, and she is tethered outside. That's her shelter. It's a crate, a wire crate with a piece of wood on top. And, you know, that offers absolutely no protection from the sun, from the wind, from the rain. When we were out there just a few days ago, she and the two other dogs on the property had absolutely no water. And I just wanted to play this. When we gave her one. 7 on a tether, and that what you see on his back are fleas. He was absolutely infested with thousands of fleas, and you know, we treated him for fleas. But when the dogs are outside 24/7 and the grass is overgrown, they're just full of fleas, and fleas can kill. You know, they eat them alive. And a lot of times we go onto properties and we visited dogs in the past. We say, "Oh, what happened to Brownie, for example?" And, "Oh, well, he died. I think the fleas got it." You know, and so they can help. The dog can. And this is just one example. And then this is Max. And this is Max's existence on a chain, surrounded by, you know, empty food bowls, no water, high grass. This is what his existence is, 24/7. Commissioner Hoggard, Mr. Saunders, I've met with you, Commissioner Hoggard, and I appreciate your time. Saunders, we have been working in Mercy for 20 years, and we have been urging for the last 20 years for the Board of Commission to pass an ordinance to protect dogs. There's no ordinance in Bertie County which offers definitions of adequate shelter, space, or water. I work with the commissioners to pass something animal control can work with, and then we'll connect.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk.
Jerry Fallon.
Thank you, everybody. Again, thank you for all the work that y'all did. Again, a thankless job, but here I am thinking. I'm here tonight to talk a little bit on two subjects. Hopefully I got time. Wednesday, June 25th, big storm came through Mary Hill. I would equate it to probably an EF0 or EF1. Lots of stories I could think. We lost two big trees. My purpose in being here tonight to tell you about what the DOT, Department of Transportation, came out and did that. Wonderful work. By 9 o'clock, I had two huge trees, 100-year-old, all across Mary Hill Road, shut it down. By 9 o'clock that evening, they had worked hard. They had opened the road up. By 12 o'clock next day, they had cleaned up the right-of-way. They cleaned up parts of my driveway. They did a fantastic job. I realize they don't answer to you guys. They're state-level people. But you guys are in different places, different forums. You see different people all the time. And any chance you get, I would encourage you to express the gratitude that this one citizen has towards those guys. They did a fantastic job. So that could be the end of number one. Number two, I want to talk a little bit about tax development authority, the room tax issue. I had a chance to speak with Ms. Payne about a week and a half ago, answered some questions, and she truly is. Jonathan, your counterpart, said she's a cheerleader for Bertie County. She truly is, and I see she's on the agenda today. She's a cheerleader. She is absolutely 100% behind Bertie County. Even though she's not a member of the TDA, she's involved with helping them get on the right direction, and obviously I'm going to be more involved with trying to learn a little bit more about the rules, regulations, and laws that are associated. The one thing that I would ask each and every one of you where this is concerned is this legislation, this tax was passed maybe during previous administrations. I'm not 100% sure that each one of you totally understands some of the ins, outs, ramifications, what you can tax, what you can't tax. I'm not 100% sure I do in a brief conversation I had with her. What I would ask is, before we go too much further down this rabbit hole, please examine what you expect, what you hope to get out of it, versus what reality says you can tax. For example, if it's portable, I mean, I've heard a lot about the RV park coming to Bertie Beach and all that. My understanding is rent a lot, but you can't put a roof out on it because it's portable. A tent is portable. You can't tax. The place that I'm looking at turning into a thing, if I sell it with packages for hunting, exploring, wildlife trail, whatever, if I sell it as part of a package deal, it's not taxable. I could be misunderstanding that. I don't know. Something tells me I need a lawyer sharper than Jonathan and Lloyd to figure that part out. Because they're the ones that are going to be after me if I fail to pay my taxes. But anyway, I would ask you to praise the DOT guys in this community and consider. I don't know if you passed, if the regulation, the ordinance is passed and it's set in stone and it can never be overwritten. But I would ask you to take a look at it, just to satisfy yourself that you can defend it. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Cow. Madam Clerk, that's it. All right. We thank you for the public comments. At this time, we will move to our reports and appointments. Introduction of It's Your Move Integrated Health Primary and Health Services by Danica Phelps.
Good afternoon.
My name is Danica Phelps. I am the CEO and owner of It's Your Move. We are an integrated health service now located right here in Bertie County. Bertie County is one of the counties that Trillium asked us to come out and do services here. I'm here to introduce us to you all, as well as to inquire about the opioid funding. Spoke briefly with someone at the AG's office, and they kind of explained that Bertie County did get some of those funds and that we would qualify for those funds. So wanted to come and speak to everyone. We're excited about being here. We're looking forward to doing some great work. We do everything from children to adults, primary care services. We will hopefully soon be getting IPRS money, which means we'll be able to serve those individuals without insurance. We currently take Medicaid, Medicare, and most private insurance. We do primary care for adults, as I said, and mental health and substance abuse for both children. We are located on the bypass on Highway 13, right behind the State Employees Credit Union. Hopefully, we've been there for a little over a year now, and we're starting to link with people in the community, link with the court system. We've done great work in other places. Our corporate office is located in Columbia, South Carolina, but we currently serve six states. And so we're truly excited about being here. North Carolina is my home. I'm originally from Martin County, right over the bridge. So know Bertie County well as far as having grown up in this area. So looking forward to doing some great work here. And also looking forward to partnering with the county to do some great work where opioid is concerned.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Phelps. Okay, moving right along. Performance contracting. Dr. Otis Smallwood.
Thank you, Chairman Ballas. Good evening, Commissioners. Thank you. Today I'm here not to ask for any money, but to work on ways how we can save some together between the school district. Last month I was here along with Rain and Bruce Snyder Electric. You all have this one picture, right? So this page is a summation of what you got there. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to have some deferred costs for our maintenance equipment. School system, we only have 7-8 locations in the district that have set up. Have some needs, some energy needs, some HVAC needs. In that booklet, I think it added up we have about $15 million worth of HVAC or energy needs that in our village, use buildings, but you have them to carry the whole buildings together. So we have about $15 million worth of capital needs based on the funding that we allowed it to take us well over 40 years to get all of that work done. But what we're trying to do is trying to get all of it done upfront with a special legislation that would allow us to pay for the people who save it. So we're trying to have guaranteed savings by upgrading infrastructure, right? Needs. And so the work that we're going to build is guaranteed to have a state to finally So, and that's kind of explained in financial summary to my public. So, what has to happen is we have to have some contracts detailed analysis built by everything we have to talk about what the scheme with and chill as opposed to the statute things. But then that has to go out for a deed and see how much I was told, how much the total cost would be. And so, whatever that cost would be, roughly around $15 million, they're guaranteed to save us so much money. Save us that bump back, pay the bad out. So, it won't be any extra points for capital. We will pay for the project just with the savings. So, but what it does require is a commitment not to like to sign off on the project, but just us to the next phase of the project. So we need to kind of go out to our RFP with the consensus that we have tonight. I imagine that we're going to have a decision. What we're asking to do is we can get approval that this goes to the next phase of this. Sometimes between now and September, then of course we may have a design meeting. And if you're from two, we have to come back.
Okay.
So that's what I'm here asking. Any lines for this approval? Let's go to the next step. That is just.
Okay. Is this something we need to make a motion on, or can we just have a consensus?
A motion would be good.
Okay. Can I get a motion on the floor to go ahead and allow Bertie County Schools to go ahead and move forward?
So move.
Then we have a motion on the floor to allow Bertie County Schools to go ahead and move forward with the energy saving. Get us by Commissioner Saunders. Can I get a second?
Second.
Second by Vice Chairman Hoggart. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. That's fair. All right. At this time, we will have a municipal election candidate filing by Ms. Latoya Field. How you doing, Ms. Latoya? Yeah.
Good evening, Commissioner.
Good evening.
Well, it's that time of year again. The municipal election is upon us, and the Bertie County Board of Elections will open the 2025 municipal election for the towns of Askewville, Olander, Coleraine, Telford, Wilsonville, Howellville, Roxville, and Windsor. The 2025 municipal election date will be November 4, 2025, and polls will be open again from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., and the voter registration deadline is Friday, October the 10th. So, for everyone here and for everyone who's living, a reminder, the municipal election for those who live within the town. So those, including myself, who live in the town of Linden, you have nothing to vote for, and you cannot file for anything because you do not live within the town. All right, and speaking of filing, filing next weekend today, at July 7th at 8:30 a.m., we had six people who filed for office today, and it ends on Friday, July 18th at 12 o'clock p.m., filing fees are $5, and it's on yourself by check or money form. Okay, and you're a qualified voter because at least 21 years of age, may be elected to public office. But however, once again, for a municipal office, must not only be registered, but also live within the town. All right, so are there any questions for me?
No, ma'am.
Not at all. Okay.
So you're not at liberty to give out names. You're not at liberty to give out names.
Record,
I'll
actually email the bill to today. Okay. Yes, but if you want the names, I can give them to you. I have the right to.
True.
Okay, so we did have six people file, and those would be first, we had Louis Hunger for the town of Elizabeth Mayor. We had.
I did.
And we also had Mr. Louis Downward. He filed for town commissioner of Windsor. And also we had Mr. Randy Whitaker, who also filed for town commission. And while on this, the town members and town of Powellsville, they vote by appointing nonpartisan primary election, meaning that these people are filed under an October 7, 2025 primary. Because if they have more than double of what the seats available to file, we have to have a primary. So I won't know that until July 18th. So those don't know what election, right? So those who get the reports from me, I did put in the email the candidates from Townsville and Powellsville. You'll see the report that says October the 7th for Ms. Kraken. For those in the other town, they're from November the 4th. But once again, I know that after July 18th. Okay, and for the other towns, that was just for Orlando. We had a file for Orlando today. We had Mr. Richard Dresden, filed for town commissioner of Orlando. Ms. Candace Faye, Orlando town commissioner. And also Mr. Ron Burkhead as well, filed for town. So it was for us today. But once again, file begins on July 18th at 12.
Great job. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Pierre. Okay. Windsor Township Development Update and Recommendation. Former Commissioner Ronald Wesson. How you doing, man?
I'm here representing the Windsor Township Development. I met you a while ago to announce that I was leaving Shipland. Replace not only me, but also the open position. Since that time, we've had a couple of meetings with county manager, also with the county manager, Alan Castellano, but also with Commissioner Lewis Hoggett, because he had served on the board before. And we met with several other interested parties who are interested in serving. So I'm here today to report to you that Windsor Township would like to offer, that's the right term, a slate of four officer people who would like to be a part of the Windsor Township. And as you know, that it's made up of three elected positions, one from the town of Askerville, one from the town of Windsor, one from Burton County. So we have Randy Whitaker, who represents the town. We're proposing that Lewis Hoggett, who represents District 1, Windsor, and Mayor Gloria Bryant from Askerville. And then we have two additional elected citizens, and we're asking to include Ricky Cloud, many of you know, and also Mr. Lewis Dameron. Those would give four, that four again, Lewis Dameron, Ricky Cloud, Mr. L.C. Hoggett, and also Gloria Bryant to join Randy Whitaker to make up that four. So if it is your pleasure to appoint them, put them to work right away. You've got a good bit of money. A lot of citizens may not know, but Windsor Township Development has been in operation since the 30s. They took up a railroad track between Windsor and Askerville, and money was put into bonds. The bonds were cash. And we're a revolving loan fund that funds small businesses, expansion, new businesses. It must be operating in Windsor and Askerville. That's what money is. So we're looking forward to putting the new board together. Any questions? Like to answer them, but we would like to ask you to move on that recommendation.
Okay. So can we get a motion to go ahead?
I make the motion that we accept the recommendation coming from former County Commissioner Ron Wilson.
Second.
All right. We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Robinson to accept the candidates nominated by former Commissioner Ronald Wesson. Second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. All right. Yes, sir. At this time, we have a presentation of North Carolina DOT Comprehensive Transportation Plan. Ms. Amanda Killian.
I think we have it.
Yeah.
85.
Thank you so much,
Officer.
My name is from NCU Exclusion. You may remember me, I was here 2 months ago, 3 months ago now, presenting on the plan. Since then, we've made the edits that you requested and given you some time to look at it. So we're here to show you the plan.
And we also have Stephanie Harmon, PFL RPO, and Chris Kitcher, which is here. So on slide two, we have a little agenda, which quickly go back over what's changed and the history of products, and now I'll go over some of the changes. So that will pass off to Austin. I'll get into what CTP.
Good evening, everyone. So a CTP stands for Comprehensive Transportation Plan. It's a long-range need-based plan. We say long range, we're looking at about 30 years out into the future, just looking at what the county's transportation needs will be out around that time. There's a CTP for every county in North Carolina. Berks County's last CTP was in 2013. This current CTP is updated. It represents a consensus on future transportation systems and is multimodal. So it's a consensus of different types of transportation, so not just highways, but also bike plans, pedestrian plans, and all that comes together. It's developed in collaboration with everyone. NCDOT is a part of it, the Peanut Belt RPO Regional Planning Organization, Bertie County, its municipalities, community stakeholders, and the public. So it's a collaborative. And it comes before any prioritization and funding, so it's very high level. So nothing in the plan is really set to be built. It's just a general plan of what the idea is. Sure. So a little bit up on the history of Berks County CTP. So we started our current update back in March of 2023. We have a steering committee that is composed of stakeholders from different towns and representatives. And they met once a month for the past 2 years, so there's always been input coming into the process. Engineering analysis was also done to coordinate with local plans, make sure there wasn't any conflict. There are two open house public sessions in January of 2025, and as Amanda mentioned, we have been here before. In April of this year, there were some comments made that we made those changes. And 7 out of the 8 towns that we have presented to have adopted so far, and we are scheduled to be on the last one in the next month or two. And sorry, y'all. All right, so the CTP is adopted / endorsed at 3 levels. So it's adopted locally, hence why we're here today. And while we have gone to those other 8 towns for adoption, it's endorsed at the Rural Planning Organization level for you all. It will be the Peanut Belt RPO. And it is adopted again by NCDOT for the transportation. So in the current process, we are at that 8th step that says adoption. So we're very close to the end of the CCP. So we're just seeking everyone's adoption so we can go ahead. And the CTP produces a little booklet that's going to be available online and in paper. It has the vision for the CTP, along with some overview information. And also it has every single recommendation made within a CTP. And it has those on maps so you can see where those recommendations
are. Thank you, Austin. So to get back to the recommendations, you should all look very familiar, guys. This is we've been here at ASIL and went through all of these. We did make that edit to recommendation number 5 with highway recommendations on your slide. Not in there, you'll see all 8 of the highway recommendations and refresher, their color coded on project sites. And on slide 10, this is all on the map of Berks County. This is whole town view, and then we have insets for each town. So all the following slides are to this town set. And first couple, you want to really see many recommendations on. Go to slide 13. There you can see that recommendation number 5, which is the intersection improvement at NC11.
So you took the roundabout out. Thank you. Thank you. Taking the roundabout between at the intersection 11 and 308. Let me ask you this. I have your attention. Where are we with the new projects being built now? I know, but do you don't know?
For the projects that are in
the
steel right now, we're
yeah.
There are projects that are currently funded. I think there'll be a reduction in P8. There'll be a 30% reduction in the number of projects that will be submitted from the different RPOs. But they're all projects that are currently moving forward that are already.
Okay, and Bertie Kelly, where are they?
The man. Sorry, y'all go ahead. I'm...
Okay, what about the
go story? Ahead. When you say project, that's what I was trying to get your attention. When you're saying a slide number, it's not matching ours. So you're gonna have to say more about like an inset and the count the town name. That's what I was trying to, when you heard me whisper, that's what I was trying to get your attention. Is this Lewiston Woodville? Is this Windsor? Is this Coleraine? Like what
well,
county?
Page, maybe that will help.
Page. She said page earlier and it doesn't correspond with ours.
Page.
Meaning they've been funded and going to start work, or they're in the STIP. And I'm sorry, I'm not DOT like he is, so you need to talk a little bit different to me. Okay.
Okay, Project 7, leading from Hosky, the Wyden section, and Lewiston Wilbur. Highway 13, have they done a preliminary hearing on that project? You said it's already in stage of being built. Have they had a pre-planning site for the public? I know once before the project started being built, they always have public hearing for the public.
There's 14 of those for Bertie County. And these shows are familiar at the possession plot as well. But there's a lot of sidewalk recommendations all around Bertie County. And again, there's the whole county map, and then there's insets for each of the towns that show this. And the numbers in the list correspond to the map. They have a description of what all the projects are. And there's also one role-based app. Recommendation answer, and that's just it seems like really effective. And we collaborated and looked at Destination Berkeley plan that has been done here and made sure they're appropriate. There's a lot of revitalization plans from that in the towns, and so we could add sidewalks and connecting to the girls that they put that fit as well.
I have another question. Who would the county need to see in reference of making sure when they do the primary work on the roads, primary conscription versus the main conscription. Along with these roads here in Bertie County, they can like spot done. They work the gun that come on the road, the paper road, and they work this spot, miss, go work another spot, and go, especially like that highway on Caltrack Road and some of the other roads where the landfill trucks come in and tear the roads all up, all the pieces. And then they'll send, DOT will send our contract service people out there to work these roads. And they'll go there and they'll do a spot here. They'll skip and do a spot over there. You know, I know we can do better.
Are you speaking of basically full depth patch like done out here on 13?
Right.
Basically what they'll do is anticipation of a major resurfacing project. They'll go ahead and get those areas that the pavement may have failed due to heavy traffic. They'll dig that out to full depth, put new asphalt and all back in there, bring it back up to grade, and then it'll be resurfaced when that project comes through.
Right. That's why I was sharing with some of the citizens in the county that, you know, they patch here and then they'll miss in about, you know, 4 or 5 yards there, and then that puts another patch. And I was telling them that they was getting ready to come back, resurface the whole road.
That's what the full depth patching is for. Basically, we do our resurfacing, determine all the pavement condition surveys that are done every 2 years. So even though we may advertise a project, and I'm not trying to jump in, Amanda, just want to ask you a question. Our resurfacing projects have an 18-month window. So the contractor is allowed basically 18 months within that window to complete the work. So it may get through one or two seasons, you know, spring or fall, depending on whatever is set. So typically we do that to get rid of the potholes or the areas where the pavement has failed ahead of resurfacing versus us going in there and just basically resurfacing, and then there'll be a pavement failure and we have to go back and spread out new asphalt.
All right. Thank you. Let me ask you one more question about Highway 87. You know, coming from Mon County to Shawan County, Highway 17, are this in the plan?
Yeah.
And because we talked about maybe we could get a welcome area in the plan, so you know people could come in close by the beach. You know, so we had talked about that early on. Is that part of the? Okay. Okay. Thank you. I'll make the motion that we accept the, we adopt the CTP plan presented by NCDOT. And overall, DOT does a great job. But just like the gentleman said earlier, you know, if you call, they can't do anything if they don't know nothing. You know, if you call and ask, you know, we got a great group out of Division One.
Second.
We have motion on the floor by Commissioner Moxley to accept the CTP plan. Second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it know by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Austin.
Austin.
18. 18. I said 12. That was my guess. So.
I'm a young.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Great job.
That's it. Now we will have the approval issuance of RFQ for design for architectural services for phase two, tall glass and water.
Good evening.
Hey.
Yes, I'd like to get approval to issue an RFQ. the preliminary estimates on some of the subcontracting work I've done, some of the requirements we need to go ahead and have the architect.
And how much is that for? Well, how much is our cap that we have to spend? I do know how much it's going to be. For planning. Okay, I was going to say, oh, well, okay, I got you. Just for everybody in the audience, what is phase two consist of?
I have a question. You know, we frequent Bertie Beach, and we saw an older lady there trying to go down on a wheelchair. Is that at some point are y'all going to put a decent ramp down there?
Yes. So that is the grant that we were approved as pre-app. That'll be for asphalt.
Okay.
And the asphalt will be 12 feet wide, 440 feet length, and it'll be painted the same. So yeah.
All right.
Thank
you.
Okay.
Yeah, we did
so move.
Okay. Got a motion on the floor to approve the issuance of the RFQ for design and architect services phase two, solid glass board by Mr. Simons. Is that
second?
Second by Vice Chair and Hall. All in favor, let me know by saying aye.
Aye.
Right. Now we'll have a discussion of county structure in Orlando, the approval to submit grant for Demba. Ms. Rockwood.
Yeah, and really, I wanted to initiate the conversation around the county owned building. The county has any plans for what could happen at 103 to 109 East Main Street. There's some demo grants that have come out recently, so it sparks the conversation. So, let's read something on it. Okay, so here's the building on the left. It's a predominant structure in downtown Atlanta. Boxed in red is where it's located at the intersection. On the lower right-hand corner is the proposed facade. If you go to the next slide, this is the back of the building, a couple interior shots, and then you know, an arrow to part of the roof on a demo. So, I mean, it's a great property for mixed use. Can you go to the next slide? I referenced it.
There you go, demolished.
Is that missing a hole? Is that missing the roof? Is that where that red arrow is pointing?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's a tree.
Hmm.
It's not as bad as some of them. Deshaun, I need to go to the file. Go to my file. Okay, see Maurer Architects. I referenced this in the strategic plan, but this is just an example. Can you advance it? Can I advance it? The structure was, the interior of the structure was what we had in Atlanta. Here's the back of their building. It had a nice arborated burn on the inside as well. Keep on going. And then there's their future facade. But the three buildings and the mixed use. This is after the interior demo, everything was cleared out. You can still see there's some moss growing and all. Almost exactly the same layout, 10,000 square feet. It's just great to show the potential. And here it is on the slide. There's the interior spaces. So I'm just out of maybe sparking the conversation. You know, is the property for sale? Are you proposing to do something with it? If so, do you want to go after grant money to demo it? The estimate for demo is about 100,000 to take a machine in there, pull everything out. They can't do it by hand because it's not safe. And then about 75,000 on top of that 100 to shore it up, get an engineer involved. So it's
100,000. Need it, tear it down 100,000. You need 75,000 to get an engineer involved while you're tearing a building down. Okay, help me understand.
There's two units
on each side.
And you want to keep the facade. It won't fall if you just demo the whole thing. Structurally, the people on either side. So you need to brace it up, and to do the proper bracing, you need to have engineer design. So you can get one company to do the whole thing.
I'm just no fan of buildings, and I see buildings that were old and they're fixed up, and the brick walls, and you know there might be a pub or something. But you know, hey, I'm just listening.
It does not include.
Tear everything down.
You cannot get that money if there's going to be residential activity there for 3 years. So that has to be off the equation.
But how much?
Top floor apartments.
How much is the demolition money that is available?
How much demolition money is available?
I got a grant last year, $350,000.
What is the funding source? State, government, Department of Commerce.
I was telling her, I think they are nice buildings.
Yeah.
I just think that we don't need them. Like, if we could sell them, like I've talked many times about trying to get rid of property that we have, but I don't know that anybody wants three or one dilapidated building.
Now, if you work with the town, I haven't talked to the town yet, so that's a dispatch, but or a nonprofit, they could get funding to work on it.
Yeah. I think
if you all had something else you want to on, you want it.
Yeah. Ms. Payne, all due respect to the town, I think they need to have, they need to be in the conversation. You know what I mean? Because it's in their jurisdiction, and it wouldn't be right for the county to come and try to take over where that, if the town could do something with it, it'd be a lot better. And we'd be glad to get it to them for a dollar.
Oh,
well, I didn't say that.
Me either. I'm trying to put it into people's hands that are going to pay taxes, get tax revenue from that. That's why I was.
Yeah.
Yep.
We need to solve as many problems as possible with that. So this is the first time we've talked about it. So
I'm hearing $100,000 a tab. How much it cost to fix it up?
Well, look at that performance. Okay. $75 a square foot for upstairs, $150 down below. It's a $1.8 million project.
So you just this table is so with that further discussion, especially now that we've just been made aware that there's a demolition process, so we have something else to totally facilitate. commissioner of the town. How fast would they take to
Rashton's? I wasn't expecting that. But I can talk to Ollie after to see.
Yeah, please bring him to the table.
So we'll make, we're moving down to the request to submit a grant for the cash out drainage project. And then,
I'm going to table this until the next meeting. I talked to Rick, the funding folks, last Thursday, and there is a match for this. And we've got part of that match in mind. And I'm looking for a source of funding. So it bumps up our project cost a little bit. Project cost, that's fine. So, and remember, this was in response to an RFQ that was answered by DLM Associates. Part A, part A we're ready for, we have part B is for the geotechnical assessment. But so right now we're calculating today what we've got in income, which is almost about 20 months. So I need to dig a little deeper. So I'll be back for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. At this time, we're continuing to follow the agenda. We have no board appointments at this time. Now move to the secretary. Approve May 5th, 2025 and June 4th, 2025 closed session minutes. May 19th, 2025 and May 22nd, 2025. June 5th, 2025. June 16th, 2025 work session minutes.
I'll make that motion.
Now move to approve.
Second.
Vice Chair Hargett, second by Commissioner Sons. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Is made. Next, we'll have to approve the June 2025 register of deed fees reports. I have a motion on the floor.
So moved.
I have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Michael White.
Second.
Second by
Commissioner Robbs.
Commissioner Robbs. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Those made. Next, we'll have approval of the May 2025 tax release check.
So moved.
Motion on the floor by Commissioner Michael White. Second.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Next, approval of the HCCBG fund package for fiscal year 2025-2026. Have a motion.
So moved.
Motion on the floor by Commissioner Simons.
Second. Second.
All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Next, the approval of the adoption of the North Carolina DOT.
We did that.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Other items, discussion agenda. Increment welfare policy options.
Commissioners, as you are aware, we've had some discussion and that has been a request for us to present the Board of Commissioners with an inclement weather policy. And this evening, our Human Resources and Risk Management Director, Nicole Boone, will discuss a few options for your consideration, none of which have to be approved tonight, but for your consideration so that we'll know what to go back and work on so that we can adopt a policy that will meet your needs as well as those of the our staff.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It's okay, I'd like to play.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Discussion
The three options for the inclement weather would be, the first one would be all employees use the mail, their personal leave. Another option was administrative leave, and another option is inclement weather leave. Just to give you a little bit overview, with each policy, the first five paragraphs is the same information. It discusses with department head responsibility to ensure that their department office is open to the public unless prior authorization is given to deviate from normal operating schedule by the county manager. It discusses what inclement weather entails. It discusses about county manager or his designee will give a public announcement on any closures for the county department or offices. And it also talks about how the offices and departments will remain open unless authorized by early closure, dismissal, or closure by the county manager or his designee. And it also encourages employees to make their own discretion and their own judgment when coming out for inclement weather. And if they do not report to work, they are to also, if they do not report to work or leave work early, they are required to let their supervisors know. Also, the first policy we're going to look at is to leave, the use of the leave, my own personal leave. And the overview of this is, if their decision is to close, delay opening, or dismiss employees early, hours not worked may be charged to their comp time, annual leave time, or they can work additional hours for that week to make up the time lost. If it all is provided that work is available, and also by approval of their supervisor. And it also says that employees who are on prearranged annual leave or sick leave, which are, will use that annual leave or sick leave for that day, they will not, there will be no provisions for makeup for that. And that's the overview of the using of the leave. And then it talks about mandatory operations. That's just letting us know who are essential employees for inclement weather. And it also discusses how certain departments like the public works, maintenance, emergency management services, communication, and the sheriff's office are essential employees. The next option is administrative leave. It's kind of just what we're doing now and what we currently follow, which that if a decision is made to close, delay, open it, or dismiss employees early, employees will receive administrative leave for the leave of the period of the closure. Employees who are on prearranged and legal sick leave will charge their leave to the appropriate account. If an employee does not report to work during inclement hour and inclement weather when the county offices are open, they have to account for their leave by comp time and will be to make up the time for that work day. And so, if an employee decides to leave work early, they must obtain approval from their supervisor.
So this is just for giving leave like we're doing currently. That's okay. Gotcha.
We're currently on work for now. Mm-hmm. The next option is inclement weather leave. This option is when a decision is made to close for the day, to delay, or to dismiss employees early. Full-time employees will be given 3 days or whatever number specified by commissioners. Inclement weather leave days per calendar year that will be used exclusively for time missed due to county offices being closed. Only when county offices are closed, the county manager or his designee may this time be used. Anytime, if they, let's say we give them 3 days
of inclement weather and the use of PJs about 3 days. Let's say we have another inclement weather day. Then we will have to use our own personal leave, comp time, annual leave for anything over those three days or whichever day specified, number of days specified by commission. Just with this leave will not be paid out when an individual leave. It will be for a calendar year. It may be used in hourly increments for full-time employees who report to work and miss time due to early closure, or who report to work and miss time due to delayed opening. Employees who are on prearranged annual leave or sick leave on that day of the weather event is not eligible. They have to use their annual leave or sick leave. They can't use their inclement weather leave. So that's just a little overview of each of the three leave options. I also contacted some surrounding counties to see exactly what they do with their employees. We found 3 hours Bladen, Edgecombe, and Hartford County require their employees to use their leave. Beaufort, Bertie, Chomon, Halifax, Martin, Northampton, Washington, Wayne, and Wilson's give their employees paid leave. Northampton, they responded that they're on a case-by-case basis. So let's say if they are out for the whole week, then the county manager may require them to use some of their leave. And with the inclement weather leave, we do have to, Dix County allows their employees to get 3 days of inclement weather leave. And Pitt County allows their employees to get 40 hours of inclement weather leave. And I just went down and did the estimated cost to Bertie County for providing 1 day of paid leave to non-essential employees to inclement weather. And that cost would be $18,359. That would exclude the Sheriff's Department, EMS, and communications.
This is nice. Thank you. I do. Yeah, this is really nice.
Thank you.
And also, in discussion with our county manager, he was mentioning about employee paid benefits. So what I did was I reached out to Oakland counties to see what they pay for their employees for their benefits.
Look at you. Appreciate that.
I didn't get all the counties like I got, but the inclement weather was in the city. I was surrounded.
Mm-hmm. So we got better benefits and 4 weeks than everyone. Can you give me one? Can you summarize? Yeah. That's okay. For the public's benefit, can you just summarize exactly what was? Thank you.
The offers for the health insurance, we pay $674.62 towards employees' health insurance. We provide vision, dental, at no cost to the employee. We provide life insurance. We provide 401k for employees, 3% of their salary. And of course, we have to do that 5% for
Leo. And we also contribute $200 for flexible spending account for all of our employees. For Chowan, Chowan provides health insurance, dental, and life insurance. Hurtfoot provides health insurance and life insurance. Martin provides health, dental, life insurance, and they do 5% towards their 401k, and also the 5% for the VA. And Washington does vision, dental, life insurance, and 401k. They contribute 3% only if the employee contributes $20 towards their 401k.
How do they get by with not providing health insurance? That's is that a mistake?
No, they provided, but the counties here actually paid for it. Wow. The employee pays for it. Employer paid. Employer paid versus offering it is two different things.
I don't think that's right neither. Okay, gotcha. Ain't my county. I ain't worried about it.
They offer health insurance, but they don't provide for your pay.
Right.
They offer health insurance.
Yeah.
But the employee.
It don't make sense, does it?
Right, right.
Which is about $8,000 a person, roughly. Not exact, but it's around $8,000 a person. I appreciate. Thank you, because I've been, thank you. If I knew you a little bit better, I'd give you a big old kiss right now. So one more question, because me and one of my fellow commissioners had a conversation that they didn't understand what I was saying earlier. So on top of this 401k, what else do we provide? Starts with the R and ends with, thank you. I don't want anybody to think that this is their retirement. This is an ancillary benefit that we pay on top of retirement.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Difficult times require difficult decisions.
We will now have our project updates by Mr. David Scott. Hey, I'm doing it.
Good.
So talk to you about the project that we've got going on right now with Berkeley County. What I want to talk about is the 911 communication project, the PSAP project. They're the new 911 communication center, if you're aware. The award was from the PSAP for $5.129 billion. The county match to that is $1.361 billion for a total cost of $6.49 billion. We currently expended on that grant $276,878. That's all been grant funded so far. We haven't had to pay anything. The county will be required to, by the end of this fiscal year, to provide at least between $300,000 and $400,000 for the construction cost of the project. Basically, what has gone on so far, the programming schematic designs have been completed. The design and development is scheduled to be completed next Monday, to which then they will start working on design and development cost estimates to be completed in August.
Sorry, yes. Can I have one? I was trying to get somebody else. I wasn't trying to interrupt you.
Design and development cost estimates are completed in August. The construction documents started, and they'll be done by January of 26. Once the construction documents are completed, they'll be costed out into February, and then the construction bids will be solicited starting in February of 26, which will run through the end of April 26. And then right now, the construction is estimated to begin May 1st of 27. You don't know where the
the site will be. It will be it's on County Farm Road between the sheriff's office and Station 1. That field that's there now in front of what will at some point in time be the fire department range bill. This is when, like I said, the county is responsible for $1.3 million for construction costs. Once construction starts in May, we have to start providing funds for that. That would be $340,000 by the end.
All right, so well, you just went up 100 because you said 2 to 3, so now it's 300 and 400,000. So, how much of that was budgeted in this budget this year? How much? I'm sorry.
Let me introduce David. Do we have are we thinking about paying a conscription manager to oversee that project?
We have Vision Critical is our overall project manager for this, and Trade and Grace is construction manager for the project. So, we have a project manager with Vision Critical, and then Trade and Grace they're the ones who are helping develop it.
Do we have any oversight from the county side?
Is on this thing, and state deputy, our management director, and
Joe, I think.
Philip, not Philip, Anthony, and
Joe,
I think. Joe, our IT director. So there's a group from here that are part, all part of the Army Brigade, and we're all part of that.
That's not what I'm looking for, David. But anyway, I'm looking for a person on the ground with the guys. As the unit goes up in the air, making sure that the county is getting what they paid for.
When you say responsibility, mean paying them. When you say responsibility, mean we need to. We'll be the ones having to pay them as well. We'll be the ones to pay them.
That's correct.
Being, okay.
What he meant by that is David, as assistant county manager, I or someone like Anthony would do what Commissioner Robertson would bring.
Be the construction manager.
Right, construction manager. I'm talking about man. Yep. Right, oversee the project, yeah. Making sure that we're getting done what we're paying them to do. You know, without a person from the county on the site, you might get less than what you paid for.
$45 million is received from the Department of Public Safety for the purpose of buying fire trucks for some of the fire stations here, which are Lewiston, Windsor, Kelford, and Bear Hill Midway. Also, the construction of two new stations, actually, yeah, two new stations and a substation at Bear Hill Midway and Lewiston. Current status, we have all the fire trucks have been ordered and the funds encumbered. We've received all the funds from the state for that, but they're encumbered. The Lewiston Woodville should be receiving their fire trucks in the next week. It's in Rocky Mount being equipped. Windsor has basically paid for both of their trucks. We haven't gotten all of them yet. There's their truck and the other two trucks are roughly a year out. That's how long it takes to build a fire truck. Construction project, Lewiston Woodville is still working on securing the property needed to build the new fire station. No on that yet. We have met with them to discuss general plan. Mary Hill Midway construction documents have been received. With the addition to the current station, which will be 4 bays, including an EMS bay at the area. Then the next step is the bid process, from the station. No timeline to establish that. The secondary station, site plans, and construction plans has not been submitted yet.
Where's Blue Jay at in all of this? Can I ask?
They're not in it.
Correct.
Okay.
They're not. I'm saying that's the short skinny. Askerville, Blue Jay, Roxbull. When it was written for.
Okay.
Have the prompt been acquired in Maryhill?
That is my understanding. I mean, property for the design that they've already provided is the same piece of property the current fire station is on. They're just expanding on that. Right. Four bays and add bathrooms and sleeping areas, EMS, and immediate risk.
How much property was acquired? Do you know? In Murray Hill?
I do not know the date as well. Over, I cannot say because I don't have the
I can tell you the farm down on Sutton Road, close to the catfish pond, from Section 45 Sutton Road.
Yeah.
Somebody graciously purchased that land and donated it for the use of the substation and fire department.
That's my understanding.
Thanks.
And exactly who, what, when, where, all the detail, I couldn't elaborate here in the official past, but it's been acquired.
Okay. Thank you.
And since I asked on the last one, there's no match to that $5.5 million, and
you feel me?
All right. The next one is the update on the edible shelter, and we've had the discussion before, but I'll just remind you that. The history of this, the DWD architect shelter planners were hired to complete an assessment to design for the shelter. The initial cost of the shelter was estimated at $900,000 for a 2,600 square foot shelter. He didn't do that, so they reduced the scope to roughly the same size now. And estimated cost for $607,000. We put in the construction bid out, and the cost came back to $1.3 and $2.9 million. After discussion, we put the project on hold to figure out what to do. So far, we received $300,000. When we received ARPA funding, the commissioners put $300,000 aside. We received Office of State Management for Budget Funding. We put $208,000 additional aside. We recently transferred $41,387 out of it to pay for basketball court. Thus far, we have spent $98,300 of it, leaving us $368,700 available for the project. Recent development, I think I spoke to you once a couple of weeks ago about an opportunity to secure a prefabricated commercial animal shelter. That cost of that link project would be somewhere between $300,000 and $400,000. Our procurement policy requires formal bid process for any purchase over $90,000. That means we have to develop bid documents, be posted at some point. Anthony Rasko, our maintenance director, and himself that I've spoken to are going to meet with me on Thursday to review these documents or posting it hopefully within the next 2 weeks. My goal, I take responsibility to play because schedule consulted my best out for the past several weeks. The time frame of the process for the RFP selection construction is estimated at 6 months.
So just to, just for public record clarity, there's a possibility we could get this project done with the amount of money that we have, right?
I am hopeful that that will be the case, yes, sir.
Just one.
I'm not promising yet that we get the agenda that in, but this is what I have found out. We should be able to be between 300 and 400,000. Roughly, we have 368,000 right now. unless y'all decide to put it back here. Okay. Basketball court. Been out to the recreation center lately. You see the concrete data. It's moving forward. Started. Okay, so we see $58,000, $58,713 budget funding. We transferred $41,000 that I spoke to, and given us $100,000 for the project. We spent $55,000 so far with the first half of the project. Right now, let's see. The construction of the outdoor basketball court broke ground June 18th. Contract both has been poured. The composite flooring has been ordered. They are estimating this project should be completed in 3 to 4. So that's where we are. And I wanted to just touch base real quick. The lady spoke at the OJO inspection settlement. Just so those of you who are kind of new to this aren't necessarily aware of it, Bertie County, over the course of 15 years, will receive roughly $1.68 million from this OJO settlement from 2038. There will be a certain amount each year. Currently, we've received $447,000 in our tank. A separate fund can't do anything this step, hopefully. Here. So, what'll have to happen is at some point, commissioners will have to decide how to approach the opioid itself. How you want to spend this fund?
Not to interrupt you, I just want to make a statement that we've all been to the training and we have not reverted any of the opioid money back. At all.
Okay.
And then we've all had our training to administer this money and develop our task force.
It just got out that we had sent opioid money back when we left some litigation at one point. That's why.
That's correct.
So, David, who would be the stakeholders in the county that would have to, that would be a good fit to sit down and talk about this opioid money and how it can be used and all of that?
There are several different options for how you would spend the money and different options to take individual projects and do it. Look to do a regional approach, meet with other counties and other agencies that are doing it, build a program for that. I think we've already got a group that we've met with several
times. Yeah, we met with a group. Okay.
We met with providers.
Okay. But I think we've got a good group to help us do that. There's also quarterly meetings throughout the state that allow you to a lot of different work sessions and stuff to learn about some of the opportunities that are out there.
But right.
To some point, we're going to say, okay, this is how we're going to approach this. When are coming in, they're coming in great.
David, the gentleman shared with us earlier about the person donating the property to the county for the fire station. Please make contact with him to find out who's the person.
Might not want you to know.
Well, the deal is we need to send a letter of thank you to the person that donated the property to the county.
Right. To the fire department.
Fire department, okay. With our truck going there and the building going there.
Thank you. All right. Plans for increasing revenue and decreasing expenditures for the future budgets.
Commissioners, I wanted to take this time out to address some ways that we can reduce expenditures and increase revenues to strengthen our financial freedom and flexibility. I think the board, of course, as well as the public, has heard me speak of how the county's financial position not being the best. You know, we're working to strengthen that, and we have over the past several years strengthened fund balance, but there's still a need, and it's just something that we're experiencing in Northeastern North Carolina, being a small rural county. It's sometimes hard to have that balance where you increase your revenue streams, and so it's a struggle. But I do have some ideas for us to talk about, to build upon, and during a work session we can dive deeper into each of these strategies. So as when it comes to reducing expenditures, the first thing that I have is to continue to consider the need to fill positions as they become vacant. So right now, I work with human resources right now. When a position becomes vacant, we don't necessarily automatically fill it. We take a look at what the position is in the county, if it's absolutely needed, and we move forward. If we feel like it's something that we absolutely need, then we move forward with post-advertising and hiring that position. But just because it's a position that we have, we realize that if it's not needed, that is something we can do away with, then we'll, you know, of course, move forward accordingly.
Panel manager, before you go on, I'm sorry. Can we back up just a little bit?
Sure.
From the closed session we had that me and you talked about today, that we can, let's start there of why we need to have this conversation.
Okay.
If that, I mean.
Yes. So we need to have this conversation for a number of reasons, but yes, what you're referring to is during the budget season, we just made it through successfully. Our finance officer pointed out a better way of budgeting, particularly when it comes to the Capital School Reserve. So basically, former finance director had a method of basically budgeting a certain number of funds for school capital reserve, and it was not always the amount that was transferred, basically meaning there was, it was over budgeted. And so I think to make up for that, there were certain aspects of revenue that he did not budget for, as such as Medicaid cost settlement that we get, usually get annually if the paperwork is submitted for us to get it. But to get to the bottom line is, in the past, there has, that capital school reserve has been budgeted in a way that could create, that has created a deficit for the county. That being said, when that was found and he found a better way to budget for it, we were able to identify sources of revenue that had not been budgeted for in the past that we could budget for this year to compensate for that. Yeah. So moving forward, there will be a deficit of about $500,000 going forward for the next fiscal year.
And okay. Can we talk about how much it was this year?
Yes. So this year it was about $841,000. So we found the revenue to budget it for that, so that the it's covered, have a balanced budget, and that part has been included. But going forward, if we will need to budget, going into the budget season, we'll know that we're going to have to make up approximately $500,000. Okay? So that is another reason, additional reason, that we need to talk about how we can increase revenue and reduce our expenditures. Okay? That brings me to number two for reducing expenditures. We can always consider partnerships or regionalization for some services. There are some services that we can research and kind of provide with another county. And again, as we move forward, we can explore exactly what those services are and if other counties would be interested and if it would be beneficial for us to do that. In addition to that, considering outsourcing certain services. So right now, we provide a number of services within the county. We do some outsourcing when it comes to lawn maintenance at our water sites, for instance. Some, that is something that we outsource. But additional outsourcing is also an option. We can also apply for grants, such as the U.S. Department of Energy Energy's Energy Efficiency and Conservation Block Grant, which would allow us to save when it comes to energy efficiency and reducing our utility bills. When it comes to increasing revenue, we have excited to announce we have an economic development director starting later this month. And something that will be on her plate, of course, is applying for federal and state grants that could possibly help us eliminate certain costs or increase our revenue. Of course, we know we have a list, and that'll be coming forward also, to of surplus property, selling or auctioning surplus property, property that the county has ownership of, but we're technically not using in any way or benefiting from. In addition to that, we can generate lease revenue where possible. There's a current vacant office in our new Bertie County Library. Actually, it's on the cooperative extension side, and someone from the state parks has requested that they have an employee there. But if we have a couple vacant offices there and allowing them to lease that office is additional revenue, not a significant amount, but everything counts. And then lastly, we've talked about many times about us having a Bertie Beach. And once we get the campsites, that will, of course, generate some revenue. So we can work toward that. And so this is just a list of things for us to consider. But of course, as we move forward, we will continue to build on this, continue to dive into these some of these particular options and determine exactly what is feasible.
Yeah, just for sake of getting clarity, just like to say so everybody can hear, on coming to finalizing a balanced budget, we start with an 800,000 plus deficit. But that we struggle to balance. We have managed to compensate for a little over 300,000.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not. To 500,000.
So before you go on, can you tell where it's covered from? That's the other question I was going to make sure it got out. Where we found the 841 to cover this fiscal year?
Yes, there were a number of line items that were just to compensate for that.
No, only...
I don't know that I brought it, but it included budgeting for the Medicaid cost settlement that we have not budgeted for in the past, because oftentimes we don't know exactly how much it's going to be, but we based it off of trend, based off of what we received in recent years. We also budgeted penalties and interest that we had budgeted for in the past, but in recent years that has been discussed, not budgeting that, but it is a certain amount of money that we will get. So we budgeted that. Also, we budgeted for the sale of some property that we are in the final stages of closing on, which is the sale of the Good Shepherd Pantry, the former Good Shepherd Pantry house right here on King Street. And without my budget, that is all I recall.
It was. And so I was making sure we know that, because Medicaid took up 3 years worth, 2024, 25, and 26.
Correct.
I'm trying to get this out because I need constituents to know. I need people who work here to know that $500,000 doesn't include a raise for next year. That doesn't, I told several of y'all, like, I'm scared. I'm nervous for next year's budget. And I need all of us to be. Because we just heard earlier tonight, we don't have $1.2 million set aside for E911. And then you have an $800,000 deficit that we covered this year. That's $2 million. So, I mean, we can dress it up. We can put some lipstick on that, but it's still not pretty.
Still big.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to make sure folks were aware. Back when we're going to see next year's budget. So you were talking about the fiscal, but we're going there I want everyone to understand that so you can try to have some mercy when you come up by next budget. So we're in a fight already. Just wanted everybody to understand. But we're optimistic. We're going to come up with a solution.
Difficult times require difficult decisions. It's my motto, and I'm sticking with it.
I'd like to make a, is it okay? I'd like to encourage the people in the community. The budget is a it's an open document that anybody can see. You can come and get you a copy of the budget. And before you listen to the Facebook gurus, you need to come get a budget. Amen. You need to come and look at a budget. You need to read a budget. We have no wiggle room. So it's not that we don't want to support any department. When you don't have it to support a department, it's nothing you can do. So, you know, you make these broad statements and get everybody upset and get the community upset. That's not what we're all about as a people. And if we as a community don't come together and start ending some of this, we're not going to get anywhere. We've got to listen and we've got to work together. It didn't just happen. I've been here since January. So ain't no way in the world I told this all the pieces from January to now. So, you know, you need to look at the history of it. And I'm, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to offend anyone, but I just call it like it is. That's, I mean, I call a spade. That's how you just, it is. So don't start throwing stones at folks. You need to come ask county manager for a budget. Look at the budget and look what we have to work with before you start throwing stones and apples and oranges and tomatoes at us, in which I will make a good salad out of that.
And you know, Ms. Saunders, and that doesn't even, and I'm not trying to bring any type of down or being negative about anything, but
you know, you see what's happening in the news, these natural disasters that happen in I mean, we had this before, and who knows if it can happen again. Yeah. And so on. And it's got to be taken care of if it happens. So,
just want to make sure we have the same information that we have. So this is not absurd. What's going on?
Y'all think I slept well knowing that Noah County employee got raised? You think that's easy to swallow? I was just okay. No, it doesn't work like that. I see one or two people that sat in these positions before. They know.
So the plans for increasing revenue, increasing the spending for future budgets, is that complete?
Yes, sir, it is.
Thank you for that. Kind of manager. At this time, I'm going to do an item.
Oh, go ahead. I had one thing to add to.
We would like to discuss plans for the sheriff's department. Thank you. Hopefully, thank you guys. This, like, last check.
Good evening, commissioners.
Good evening.
I met with the county manager earlier today. As we were talking about the same issue about the financial strain and the aging population of Bertie County, we also have to continue to keep in mind about the safety of the citizens of Bertie County. So I've been trying to work with, we've been working together with our county manager, and I looked through my budget of the sheriff's office and took a deep look inside of it. And I wanted to offer to the county commissioners and to the county manager to freeze three of my deputy positions and also an administrative position. I want to give that back to the county so those funds that will be inside of the budget, we can use that to split it between all of our deputies, where our deputies would be able to get a raise, where it would be a competitive salary with our surrounding law enforcement agencies. Our law enforcement agencies right now surrounding us are about anywhere between $11,000 to $15,000 with Bertie County. So.
So you didn't mean freeze, you meant to
want to just give those back to the county.
Terminate, which that's means correct. You'll never have those positions that's again.
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Let me.
Never say no.
Unless some funding comes through.
Right.
It's an Department of Public Safety funding out here. Unless we find some of those funding, then it's a possibility to bring those positions back.
Yes.
Yeah. I would like to say that. The other night, there were shots fired. Your team that went out, not knowing who had weapons, who shot who. So we're trying to run over each other. You know, this stuff really happened.
Yes.
And the team showed up and did what they had to do.
Yes.
And I still stand on the fact. I think you're one of the finest sheriffs in the state of North Carolina. Like the team. Even though I know we're short for fun, I think you are really making a statement here today for your team.
That's right.
Whether to sacrifice decisions. Do what you got to do to not only take care of your board, make sure you're in a fair shape. This is the best.
Sheriff, what comes to my mind is ownership. When a department head or sheriff take ownership of their department, of their people, they look out for them. And they're doing a great job, man. You know, the officers that I observe, I do a lot of riding, man. I do bond them guys out of jail that you don't put in there. But they don't have a different way of life when they meet me. But anyway.
So what percent increase are you proposing?
15%. 15%.
And does that include you as well? Okay.
Well, I do want to see. I know it's probably concerning some of us, maybe one. What's going to happen with the rest of the departments?
I'm not wondering that. Maybe. I know what's going to happen. Yeah, but go ahead.
See, can I explain something? You need to ask the rest of the department. Are they risking their lives going out there with shots fired? You know, this sheriff's department has had shots fired. Anybody else has had no department in our county that have had shots fired? I'm just curious.
Mr. Chairman, you need a motion.
I would assume that DSS is going to say yes because they're going into homes. I'm just saying that because DSS is coming to my, and I don't know how much we need to say out loud, but they cut a lot of positions so we could fund this budget this time. And I think the question was asked, she asked you, did she not? Could she cut positions and do exactly what now he's talking about doing? EMS is another one that's going to come to mind because I will guarantee you they're going to say they get shots fired because right. When a shot's fired, who do you call? EMS. So before I can go with whatever decision y'all make, but before you make a sweeping conversation and you make a motion and we second and we vote, you really need to have a hard conversation. And if it needs to go to close, it can. But and this has got nothing to do with you. I hope you really hear that. What I was going to ask is, do we actually have, I know somebody's provided us some unofficial stuff on Facebook, but I ain't going to talk about that. Do we actually have a study of what surrounding counties make?
That is not something I or HR have done at this point. We can do it, but no, it has not been done.
Because before we actually did that, that needs to be done because I'm not saying you did this, but it did tickle me. Well, I'm just saying like some places were excluded that touch us and like a true person is going to do who wants what they want. They're going to exclude lower counties because you want your numbers to look good.
Yeah.
And I'm.
If we can get those numbers now, but they can call the sheriff, we can put it on.
But it consisted of the surrounding county. Mm-hmm. Everything you present consisted of the surrounding county.
The only county that's lower than us would be Hereford County.
Which is Carson.
I'm going to say something. Rob might say something. He gets on that a lot of times. I've served as a commissioner before. It's 20 years, 25 years, from 2000 to 2012. And you want to talk about raises? Oh, I can tell you about raising and giving employees raises. Because when we did it, it cost me my job as a commissioner. No, I'm sure. And I hear what Mr. Black said. I fought with Ron. I fought with, yeah.
Excuse me. Tell the sheriff how much the town gets paid.
I don't know right now.
We already know 50.
The commission with the town. How much the town officer get paid versus a county?
I understand that. What I'm trying to say, and I talked with chairman and other commissioners, and I want to do everything I can to make sure our law enforcement people. But like I said, I've been voted out of office because we gave a gentleman a raise who went on to another county and doubled what we were paying and did an excellent job there. And all I'm saying is, Michael,
you know, asking for salaries.
Look at things. Make sure it don't come back to bite us in it when we do. That's what he said. Like,
do a salary study.
Salary study. I'm not saying sit up here and take 2, 3, 4, 5 months, because I know what's going on. At the end of it.
No, it's evident your HR director can do it quickly because she's got this down to a pat. That's,
I mean, nobody else has been in these shoes. Nobody else can walk in my feet.
Commissioner Helbig.
Yes, sir.
You know what else my question?
What, the town of Windsor?
Yeah.
I left there about 2 years ago, I think.
No, you left there 6 months ago.
It's 50-some thousand. I mean, like, we...
So they're making more. Right, they're making $55,000 and my county guy ain't making number 4. That's a problem.
Yeah. Okay.
Martin County just went up to $51,000. That's $11,000 more. I don't think that we have a lot of time to play.
Right.
Exactly.
They're definitely beginning to walk out. When right. these people call me, they're looking for help.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't have the time to come back month after month, and that's the reason why I have to, you know, not be silent is because, you know, we're in a crunch here that our experienced deputies are leaving. The last two deputies that have resigned gave a resignation and said, I can't afford to live off of this. Martin County just went up to 51,000. Even 10th Police Department, 55,000. We can't afford to, you know.
And Martin County gave their people a 4%
and rate. 4%. And Windsor, I believe they got a 2% or 3% increase.
Well, I'm like this. We have to start something. I'm in favor of it. I'm in chair to give back the positions. Use the funds to give this staff front line. That's it. While we can have to start something. Who would this bring you
that? I was getting ready to say, what's that? We got to ask some other questions.
What? 46,000? That's all.
So they make 40 now.
So,
look, I know what he's saying. I'm against any of this. I'm just telling you what I live and what I see. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, sir. So,
you know, that's it. Yes, sir. That doesn't have one way of having a vote on anything if it comes up. I'm just putting it out there to let you know.
That's the starting salary. How many of your deputies make the starting salary?
Mm-hmm. All of them besides two, right? Or we'll make more at least that.
Starting salary 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There'll be 6 at starting salary, and the other ones are right at $41,000, $42,000. But you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 at starting salary.
And that's a shame. Compared.
Chairman, call the vote, man.
Mr. County Manager, what is your recommendation, please?
As Commissioner Sonnet and the rest of the commissioners, as I stated during several of the budget work sessions, I strongly urge the board to consider increases for all employees and particularly the sheriff's office, because clearly our deputies are toward the lower end compared to our surrounding counties. So if there's a way, do the deputies' pay need to be increased? Absolutely. Right. However, one thing that, is different from me and the rest of the department heads, I advocate for all the department heads, sheriff included, as well as all of the, other departments. And so I understand the importance of public safety and it being a priority. I do. But I would be remiss if I did not express the need, again, for consideration of other departments. Again, I have to say that
Department of Social Services reduced the budget hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the thought was that that was being done so that everybody, all employees, could get increases. And so the fact that they did that, and none will get increases, if we just move in this direction, that there will be some disappointment there. It very well could affect the morale, not only of the DSS agency, but the rest of the agency as a whole. So that being said, you have a hard decision to make. I totally understand the need to increase deputy salary, but again, I would be remiss if I did not express concern for the rest of the staff and how hard they work, and not getting any sort of increase or both.
So,
and you know, with that being said, I don't have a problem making a decision about the hard or right. The other thing is, it's harder to make that hard or right than make that easy or wrong. I just want to do what's right. Even though it's tough and it's hard and it costs.
Is he able to give himself a raise? That's a legal question. Like, I don't know that he can. It's just odd to me.
Well, he's not giving himself a raise. It requires a board's vote. Okay, so the board's put the budget in place. The board can say we're going to take these funds and dictate what happens with it.
A 15% raise.
The board can do that, absolutely. So the board would be given the increases, not the department head, not even me. The policy limits me to 10%. So the board has to give an increase of 10%, not a department head, not the county manager.
Chairman?
Well, Chairman,
I make a motion we do a salary study, period. Like that, I know that's not what anybody wants, but that's what I will give you. If that's a motion,
I make a motion.
There you go.
I make a motion that we do the request the salary has came before us and requested.
Second.
I make the motion that we honor the request of the coming from the sheriff and terminating four positions so that his officers on the boots on the ground can get an increase in pay.
Second.
All in favor, let it be known by saying
aye.
All opposed, nay.
Nay.
Thank you, Sheriff Brother.
Thank you for a great job, man.
At this time, trash collection sites.
Which ended June 30, 2025, we had a contract with Republic Services for our convenience sites, and a current contract is being drafted for the current fiscal year beginning July 1. And so along with that, the attorney for Republic Services is drafting something. When it is complete, it will be sent to me, and I will share it with the commissioners as well as our legal team. The peers amongst the board, and we've talked about this in closed session, appears that we have at least a verbal agreement at this point. The biggest difference that we need to inform the public, and some of the public has already been informed, is that there will be a change in hours for convenience sites. And Republic has started posting those at the sites. We will start posting those tomorrow, and that will be effective July 14th. And it's basically it's based on the how busy the sites are, basically. So the busiest sites will have the longest hours, and so it was done that way, just to for efficiency and to maximize the time. So that being said, we will start posting sites on our website, the hours, the difference in hours, on our Facebook website as well as our county website. And again, Republic Services has started posting at the convenience sites as well.
So this may be a closed session conversation after that, but when you're, I mean, I know we didn't get this done on time, but when you are cutting hours, you shouldn't be charging us as much because you're not paying your people for as much work. And then the proposal was, now you need to stop me because I'm about to say stuff. But the proposal is it's going to go up $40,000 next year and then $40,000 the year after that. Correct. That's why I'm like, we can't, we're on the losing deal of both sides of this.
So as mentioned and as shared with the board, the general manager from Republic Services provided a statement as to why that was the case. And basically it was due to loss of funds, increase in cost of operating and doing business. However, if we need to have further negotiations with Republic, we can do that in closed session.
I was trying to find
another thing, Mr. Chairman, is that the rent on the property, it's well too much. You know, we're renting a half acre of land from the property owner for $800. It's well too much because farmland rents for $200 an acre per year.
Yes, sir. So we talked about that as well. There are other
options. Right. There's other options.
Session as well.
Right.
For the site in the future.
What? Yeah. Just remind me because there's something else about it. But so I looked at the hours, and so Windsor's getting cut 6 hours, Hardintown, which is the Maryhill Midway, they're getting cut 30 hours, which is half of it. Rosemead is getting cut 6 hours, Lewiston is being cut 6 hours. Republic is being, which is the Orlando site, is being cut in half as well, 30. And so you're telling me the contract is going to be $40,000 more, $40,000 more, and then $40,000 again the next year.
So, and let's take a look at, since you mentioned exactly how they'll be cut for the public's benefit, we can go ahead and take a look at the reduction in hours. So let's start with the Windsor site. So generally speaking, right now the convenience hours are on Sundays from 1 to 7. Monday, 8 to 7. Tuesday from 12 to 7. Wednesday, 12 to 7. Thursday, 12 to 7. Friday, 8 to 7. Saturday, 8 to 7. So Windsor, for instance, will be closed on Sunday. That's what Republic is proposing. Monday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, it will be open from noon until 8 in the evening. And again, that is Monday through Thursday, from noon until 8. On Friday, it will be from 8 a.m. until 7 p.m., and the same on Saturday. So Friday and Saturday would be from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Hardintown would be closed on Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. Mm. On Tuesday and Wednesday, they would operate from noon until 7.
No. Go back. Monday, Tuesday operate. It's closed Sunday, Wednesday.
There was recently a correction that they sent for Hardintown. So the latest that I got from them, closed Sunday, Monday, Thursday, open Tuesday and Wednesday from 12 to 7, Friday and Saturday, 12 to 7.
So what's the hour, the total hours? Because we're losing three days there?
Do the math. Mm-hmm. Yes. Losing 3 days for Hardintown,
which is the Maryhill Midway site, in case nobody knows the name of it.
So for Rosemead, we're looking at being closed on Sunday, and again, Monday through Thursday, being open from noon until 8 in the evening, and on Friday and Saturday, from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. The Lewiston site, closed on Sunday, Monday through Thursday from noon until 8 in the evening, Friday and Saturday from 8 a.m. until 7 p.m. And then lastly, the landfill site would be closed Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. Tuesday and Wednesday, they will operate from 12 p.m. until 7 p.m., and then the same on Friday and Saturday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 7 p.m. would be the operating hours of the landfill site.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
It says the Orlando. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Time.
Okay. It's time. Report. I talked with a gentleman by the name Barry Gilman. He's a journalist out of Durham. They've been doing some studies. You probably heard about it as well, with some of our dollar stores across the country. And Ed, let me pull it up. Thanks to a local citizen, he contacted me. And just gonna put something out there. He wrote to this person and he suggested to give this person a call, and he said he's a journalist who works with the Garden, and that they've been examining how dollar stores sometimes overcharge customers. Not that it's intentional, but they don't have enough people working in those stores to rectify what's on the shelf by the time it gets to the cashier. It just so happens that, there was a settlement of about $1 million settlement in Ohio and $1.2 million settlement in New Jersey. But most at risk are consumers in rural counties and low-income urban neighborhoods. Now, we're one of them. And he's going to come down probably, I talked with him today, at the end of July, sometime in August. We're just going to sit down and meet with him. Just going to talk about it then. For example, this comes from the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and Consumer Protection. Mm-hmm. And it reads, Burke T. Family Dollar at 1307 South Street, you know, it's talking right up there, Grant. Ones are paid $15,000 in penalties. An initial inspection in August of 2022 found an error rate of 32% based on its 16 overcharges in a 50-item lot. That's the story of one. The other store was in the Orlando area. And Family Dollar in Orlando had a higher rate too. And it's not that this is something that's being done intentionally, but because of where we are, you know, they might put one person to work the register. And we get shorted because of where we are and somewhat who we are. Low income, low wealth. And it happens. So he talked, and what is he going to do? Hopefully, because he told me they came down here about 5 to 7 times because of it, and it took that long to kind of get it correct. But those things happen, not just here, but all across the country, but particularly low wealth, low income status communities like Bertie. Northeastern corridor of North Carolina. It's just something that's out there that's want consumers to know. I had a little bit of conversation with him. He's just a journalist, his job, and he brought it to our attention. And this is where we are. So, want people to know what's going on? Maybe I'll talk with our editor when that time comes. Do a nice story on him. Sit down to the table. Getting stuff out there so our people know what's going on.
Can I ask him a question, please? When those dollar stores get fined by FDA, commerce, whoever. Who gets the money? The federal government, or does it return back to the community?
That's a good question, and I'll find out. Thank you.
Commissioner Robinson?
None, Stan.
Commissioner White?
I don't have any.
I have none this time. So now we're going to have our county manager report.
I just have a brief follow-up. During our budget work sessions, it came up, and our finance officer could not be here tonight, but it came up about COBRA. When an employee's employment terminates, whether voluntarily or involuntarily, the employer is required to provide a COBRA notice. And it was stated during our budget work sessions that the county pays for COBRA for the employee, and that is not true. We do not, and it's stated in the budget work session, we knew that we did not have to. It was stated that we did, but I want to make it very clear that we do not pay for former employees' COBRA unless it's a retiree, and that's a different story. But when they leave, we do not cover, we don't cover COBRA. That's all I have.
County attorney's report.
I have not said
okay. With that being said, I would like to, is there a motion on the floor that we go into closed session? For the North Carolina Bill Statute 143-318.1.
I make a motion we go into closed session pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A3-4-6.
Second.
Going to closed session. Yeah, motion by Mr. Ron Robson to come out of closed session, second by Mr. Saunders. Mm-hmm. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All those negative, we're officially out of closed session. We will now move, let Joe bring everyone back in.
Everyone's in.
We now have public comment. Any more public comments? None? That being said, if we can have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion to adjourn the meeting by Mr. Mike, second by Mr. Ron Ross. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Good evening, everyone.